I'm Brina Guerin, and you're listening to Hex Positive. Welcome, witches. This is episode 52 of Hex Positive. I'm your host, Brina Guerin, and this month we're stepping into the broader realms of magical practice to talk about astrology. That's right, Mercury's in the microwave and Mars is up Uranus, and we're going to talk about it. This is a topic that has interested me kind of tangentially to my practice for a long time, but it's not something that I dip into often, and therefore I don't have a ton of knowledge about it, and it's a complicated subject. However, over the past year or so, I've gotten to be friends slash market buddies with someone who does understand how it works. She's super knowledgeable, and I've been utterly blown away by her insights on more than one occasion, so I've invited her to come on the show and have a chat about it. I do want to note, before we get into things, that today is going to be a little outside the box for Hex Positive. It's going to be a good example of how people in the witchcraft and witchcraft adjacent community can learn from each other and get along perfectly fine, even while holding differing views about spirituality, how magic works, and what things we choose to include in our practice. As you all know, I am very secular and intensely practical, like 90% of the time. My guest is very spiritual and highly intuitive. Her practice looks very different to mine, and that's totally okay. And yes, this is me reminding you, the listener, that the response to encountering a magical or spiritual practice that differs from your own should be a conversation, not an argument. But first, a few quick announcements. The Witches Table Discussion Group is back on and will be meeting at the Aleworks Outlet location on Wednesday, February 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. Bring a question you want answered or a topic you'd like to discuss, and maybe a little something for the temporary altar. Don't worry, you get to take it home at the end of the night. Stay tuned to the discussion group's socials and join the Discord to connect with other witches in the area, and look for some exciting events and workshops to come later this year. No markets for me this month, but if you're in the Newport News area, definitely check out the First Friday Moon Market in the historic Hilton Village over by Warwick and Main. That'll be Friday, February 7th from 6 to 9 p.m., and I will likely be tabling at the next one in March. And speaking of markets, if you're in the Richmond area, please check out the Big Gay Love Market over at Diversity Richmond on Sherwood Avenue. It's really one of my favorite places. I'm not going to be vending. I'm hoping I will have time the weekend of February 9th to show up. It is Sunday the 9th, starting at 1 p.m., and will feature over 50 different LGBTQ plus members of the local community, artisans, makers, crafters, artists, musicians, you name it. It's going to be just a big festival of love with food vendors and live music from DJ Bare Bones, who is fantastic. And it's just going to be a big love fest. Donate what you will at the door for entry. Doesn't matter what it is. No one will be turned away for lack of funds. It just helps the community center further its missions to serve the local community. And with circumstances being what they are, they can use all the help they can get. So, February 9th, it's a Sunday, starting at 1 p.m., Diversity Richmond, Sherwood Avenue, Richmond, Virginia. Masks are encouraged because we are seeing a little sort of bout of ick going around in the area. So please come out if you can, and hopefully we will see you there. Over in the Willow Wings Witch Shop, it's all protection and glamour this month, just to help my witches feel a little bit safer as we as we navigate these unfortunately precedented times. Use code WITCHBOTTLE, that's all one word, for 20% off protection jars and bottle charms, as well as the Glamour Bottle Charm and the Rough Skin Protective Glamour Spell Kit. There's a merch drop coming up a little later this month with some brand new spell kits and maybe some other stuff. I haven't quite decided yet, but I do have quite a few things in my pocket right now that have been on my market table over the holiday season and will be turning up in the shop in the weeks and months to come. So make sure you join the email list at hexpositive.myshopify.com to get all the latest updates. Stay tuned to my socials. There's lots on the horizon. So that about does it for this month's announcements. Star Maps up, witches. Let's get into it. So this month, I am happy to welcome a friend from the Virginia witch market scene here to the virtual studio. And here with me today from Soul Ride is Alicia Abdelila. Welcome, darling. Thank you for coming.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Wonderful to have you here. Now, we've been market buds for like a few years now. You're one of my favorite people to see there. And we just always have the best darn time.
Yes, we absolutely do.
That is the wonderful thing about that market scene, is there's such a wide variety of people that come to them and so many different viewpoints, and everybody just sort of vibes. And it's such a good feeling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's always something I'm learning from there. And everyone's just so eclectic, and I'm a learner by nature. So it's a wonderful place to be able to have your own personal agency, like your own individuality, and be comfortable enough to just connect and curate information as it aligns with you.
Exactly. And to have those, you know, very different viewpoints that you might not usually consider, but still go, wow, that's really neat. I can learn from this. And then you find your insight that way, which leads me into the first point of our conversation tonight. You and I have a lot of similar ideas about magic, but we approach the application of it very differently. For one thing, you are an incredibly spiritually inclined and highly intuitive person, but you do not call yourself a witch.
That's correct. And it's kind of what I'm called to. So I respect that. And there's a few other reasons for it. But I think that it's the thing that is most authentic to me. And it allows people more access to me, because there's less they have to work through and less that I have to explain, just by us getting to the point and experiencing the information I have to share.
Which is incredibly valid. And it's why we respect the labels that people give themselves. Because you're right, there is a certain amount of stigma still attached to the word. Mm-hmm. As much mm-hmm. as we, you know, as much as we've been reclaiming it, at least in the Western world, in, you know, certain places, for the last half century or so, there's still, you're right, it is sort of a barrier, especially when you're working with the general public, where they'll see that word and immediately go, ooh, not sure I like that. But if you say spiritual practitioner, that's a little more accessible.
Correct. And I would say that like there's just like five things I could say in response to that. Like, if I were to approach what I do through the lens of being a witch, my approach would be different. And you still have to work through certain tropes. And then even within the realm of the occult or hidden knowledge, if you will, there, it's a realm. People don't realize that. And, you know, there's alchemy. I also as well. And then there's also like things like Oh my gosh. I tend to be very intuitive, but I also like to anchor it in something that has some form of logic behind it. Something in the sense that, so let me explain what I mean by that. Some sort of system where I could be like, these are the guidelines. There is something I could point back to kind of track weather patterns where energy in itself could be extremely fluid. We know this to be the case when we're dealing in readings. It's like if you read tarot at all, it's like, well, energy is fluid. This is the intensity of the energy as it's coming in through today. But you may pick up on a similar energy signature, and it doesn't even belong to the person you were even considering. So it's important to have that guideline. And for me, I feel called to just the profound tradition of astrology. It just came to me very naturally. And there's so much there to go into.
Absolutely. And I get exactly what you mean about picking up on certain things as you're doing various types of working and still kind of needing to have that one foot still on the ground so you have a concrete point of reference and that context, that framework to make things make sense. I'm totally with you there. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And I think for ages, like if you think about it, astrology is really vast. And even within the realm of the occult or hidden-ology, if you will, we're kind of putting our fingers and hands in different pots in a way that makes sense to us. So I think the most relevant thing or the closest thing that we could talk about is the moon. And I know in witchcraft, phases of the moon has been very important in all kinds of energetic workings. Phases of the moon is very important, but is that even exclusively just to witchcraft? Not necessarily so. We recognize the role the moon plays, but we've been using that for thousands of years as a means to guide the flow of energy and sometimes decide what points of action to take in terms of what would be in alignment for us and the best outcome. And then there's so much and I mean really timing is just one of the main features of astrology, to be quite honest.
That's a good point. And I like that you bring up the moon because the moon and the lunar cycle have been such a touchstone throughout history for pretty much any culture you could name. They have some connection to the lunar cycle for just measuring the passage of time or determining like what time of year it is and so forth and so on. People have the connection to the moon and the tides as well. So it is almost a universal anchor point is that we all look at the moon and have some sort of sense of time passing as we watch it wax and wane. So that is very interesting to me that we have these sort of shared touchstones as far as that goes. So I gotta ask, because I've always been a little bit interested in astrology, but I've never really delved into it in a serious fashion. What drew you to it when you first started?
Well, it was actually twofold. I think I was having my first real spiritual awakening, and it was in a sensory capacity, and it was overwhelming for me. So, and at the same time, as with such awakenings, you have partnerships in your life that are incredibly challenging. And so it's funny because initially I didn't really know what to do with the information. Then, the way I wound up finally tracking astrology as a pattern was actually through crystals. So I was gifted a crystal by a longtime friend of mine, and it was magnetic hematite. And I realized that all of a sudden I felt clear, and I wasn't out of focus or extra anxious and so on. And it turns out it has iron in it. So what it does is it grounds you, but it also shakes off the debris from your auric field that isn't yours. And so then I was like, oh, I like this. But then the dynamic I was in, because I was getting the same lesson from a few people, so I could level up spiritually. I did not know that at the time. Then I got another crystal and then another crystal. And then by the time I reached about 10 crystals plus in about a 2.5 month period, I was like, all right, this is enough. The logical side of me took over. I was like, this is enough. There's got to be another thing at play to track stuff. And at first I started researching crystals, and then through social media, I would hear things about astrology here and there. And then me being a Gemini sun, Scorpio rising, I just had to start notating patterns. And then first I would just start looking at the sun sign, and then it became more nuanced than that. And if you want to talk about why that makes sense is, our point of reference as a soul is really key in understanding how we understand the world and our soul essence. So it turns out for me, yes, I'm a sun in Gemini, but my sun placement is in the seventh house. And I'll explain what that means. So essentially, you could consider the houses like 12 slices of the human existence, and it's an evolution. It turns out part of my life lesson is to, one, there's a natural inclination to want to relate with another and devote time to meeting others. But at the same time, the people I meet are reflections of myself in some way or of something that needs to be healed. So through meeting these different people and getting these different soul assignments and activations, which were right on schedule, I was learning something about my soul evolution. So it's so funny because like I talk about this and it starts with one thing, but in a way it leads to another, only to circle back to find out they're all continually interrelated.
Boy, does that resonate in ways that I was not prepared for. Now, you keep offering / playfully threatening to give me a reading, and I will take you up on that at some point, I promise. But I see exactly what you're saying with, there are recurring themes and just things that keep coming around in your life because it's either a growth that needs to happen, something that needs to be healed, or a lesson that needs to be learned. I keep Yes. coming around in my life over and over and over to this role of being an educator, not necessarily Yep. a teacher, but an educator. Mm-hmm. And I just cannot seem to get away from it. And it happened 3 separate times before I finally went, okay, fine, I'll do it. I'm just going to lean into it.
That's something you and I have in common, by the way. I'm sorry. Yeah. I did not mean to interrupt. We do have that in common. So please continue. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's why we get along so well. Mm-hmm. And, the more that I've just kind of very carefully sort of like stuck in a toe and then a foot and then a leg accidentally. excuse me. Woo. Sore throat getting over it. The more that I've sort of leaned into it and just been like, oh, okay. All right, that's all right. That's comfy. All right, that's all right. That's a little more than I was expecting, but okay, still good. And then suddenly I'm up to my neck in it and just kind of going, wait, what happened? I accidentally a thing and I'm still okay. Okay. Yeah. Guess I'll keep swimming. But yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see what you mean about those recurring patterns. And I can't speak for everyone, obviously, but I do think that is a thing that a lot of people see in their lives where like the same sort of stuff keeps coming around until you learn from it. And whether it's having similar relationships or similar life circumstances or making the same mistakes over and over. Until we learn what we need to learn from something, it's gonna keep happening, I think. So for point of reference for my listeners, I was born smack in the middle of Taurus. I have a Scorpio moon and Cancer rising. So I don't actually know very much about what all of that means, and I'm sure someday Alicia is going to tell me, probably with a lot of glee. All I know is that means I'm probably at least as stubborn as gravity.
Well, there's strengths and weaknesses to each archetype, because zodiac, mm-hmm. The zodiac is not just based on the constellations, but it's the archetype, it's the story, right? Right. So and so there's higher iterations and low. But I laugh about like your response to being an educator, because that's such a Taurus response. It's like, don't poke the bull, The bowl will decide if and when to move and how much. Like, you're down for change, but like the comfort of change is the question. I'm curious to know what your Mars sign is. I mean, at the very minimum, I would say, judging by whole sign, using the whole sign system, because you can do this, you would be a sun in the da-da-da-da-da, 11th, actually. Which means that you feel compelled to serve the collective in some way, and it's through some earthly measure. And then your rising, being a Cancer rising, is you feel everything at once, no matter where you go. So you can pick up on people's emotions and all that other stuff, but it also makes you really good at what you do with the herbs and why I love you for it. And then the Scorpio moon. It means that you have moon opposite sun, so it's push me, pull me, right? But a Scorpio moon is not strong, in the sense that like it hates being a Scorpio moon, because it just that urge to be broody can really overtake. Scorpio wants control over its emotions, but what it doesn't realize is the strength of that is you can go as deep as you want to do the research, because Scorpio is the alchemist, but just remember to come up, because you have a three-part job. It's to descend as the scorpion, to rise as the phoenix, and then to rise even higher than that and survey as the eagle. So that's a metaphor
Ooh.
for the spiritual process. And that there's lots of tones of even like ancestral possible inheritance of what you do. I mean, Scorpio rules what's hidden and the occult, if you will. So it'd be really fun to delve into your chart knowing that now.
Oh, heck yeah. We're making an appointment after this call.
You're gonna want to know, because there's gonna be a lot of poking and prodding this year.
Oh boy, dragged by my own birthday.
I know, but you do get Jupiter. When you get an exalted Jupiter in your first house this year, so that will actually be to your betterment, I think. So, but anyway, so why the hell even talk about this stuff? Is because some of us keep getting tired of being like, well, I thought I learned this. Like, what the fuck is happening now? I hope it was okay to curse.
Oh, by all means.
I need to know what's happening. So I'm like, okay, let's pull up the damn thing. Where are my planets? What's on schedule? I'm actually doing a class on the 29th for how to plan your year using the inner planets, the personal planets. And I'm offering a reading because we're getting five major energy changes, statistically rare planetary changes that occur at the same time, signaling the change of a generation this year. And so they happen in a certain sequence with retrogrades involved. So I'm offering a private reading session so you can know where everything is going to happen and why, and how the expression of that energy, both in the sign and in the planet, can impact you. And right now we're in a Mars retrograde in Cancer, which is balls on a good day to have Mars in Cancer. But like really, like we're talking about a Mars sign whose subconscious desires to sidestep and seek emotional comfort in a sign of retrograde, so it's extra angry and pissy. So I mean, like it's just not a good time per se to be overly assertive, but what is it a good time for if we look at the bigger picture? Creative process. Re-examining our foundations at an emotional level, re-examining our meaning of home, family, and re—I mean, like we're in the. This is why I keep leading with the word of legacy. With like we have Pluto and Aquarius now. The world as we know it will not be the same, and there's a move towards more egalitarian systemic change. And there's a flashback flavor this last week that we will not unpack, but it is for a reason. Right? So I know exactly, Brie. So
Grown.
so we're not going to unpack that, but this is an example of how you could be cognizant of how to work with the energy. Some of us might get comfortable in our misery. I'm not one of those people. I'm very much like the bottom is boring. What the fuck can we do now besides sit here? I need to keep moving. Right. So this is the beauty of astrology. It's not just am I compatible with this sign for romance? Honey, it's way more than that, because what this person could do for you, this girl or guy, well, daddy over here can tickle something else. And sometimes you didn't know you liked it. And sometimes it's in the form of helping you figure out what your business portfolio should look like and maybe a really nice date afterwards. So it's like, and you didn't know you needed it, because everyone can give you something different, right? So it's way more than that. This is why I like it. It's timing. It's like, honestly, I use it from a perspective of personal growth, because quite honestly, as you can see, just from the framework of this discussion, there are choices. There are choices and how we use the energy. Therefore, no one can absolutely predict the future. That's not the point of this. This is like checking the weather. Well, it's cloudy outside. It could rain if these circumstances align. We just got to see what happens here. What does the sun want to do today? What does the wind really want to do today? Like things like that. And I'm not a weatherman, so please don't come for me. And if you do, you're wasting your time, because you should be worried about yourself right now. Mixed up priorities there. But I'm just saying, that's the whole point of this.
This is why I love talking to you.
I mean, shit. Well, I love talking to you too.
This is why, because you're always thinking, your brain is always working, and you always have just the neatest takes on things. Not just with regard to, like, well, also you're an insanely funny person, and I always appreciate that. That's what I appreciate about you. But also just kind of going, hey, so here's a pattern I've noticed. Have you noticed it too? And me, I am the pattern person. And yes, as you alluded to, it's not a great time to be a person who's a history buff and also a compulsive recognizer of patterns. I'm going to talk some wine about this when we're done. It is helpful, I think, to have something, some framework, like you said, of trying to make sense of what you're seeing and not absolutely predict things, again, like you mentioned, but just to have some idea of how things could go given the right circumstances. So with regard to astrology, how would you go about putting together a forecast just on a given day when you feel drawn to do it, when something is going, hey, look ahead?
Well, and here's the thing about me. I am a change agent. I am a disruptor. And my focal point is all about leading by example and for people to activate and within themselves their authenticity for the highest good. And I don't like that I have to say that sentence, but I'm realizing lately filter words are important. So, you know, if you say you're having a house party, chances are the turds you don't want to show up will show up because they heard you're having a house party. Never mind, the invitation was never for them to begin with. So anyways, that said, and so this way you can embody that and unleash it. We are each here to do something different within the collective. Right. This is the shedding of the programming of like lack mindset, the patriarchal programming of jealousy and scarcity mindsets. Right. I do this because everyone is here to be empowered to everyone here has the opportunity to be empowered to be themselves. And again, I'm curious to see how people choose to embody these gifts, because we all have a choice. Not all of us are meant to be metaphysical, you know, facilitators or instructors or whatever it is. Some are here to do very, very mundane, quote unquote, forgive the word, practical things, because it's what's needed for the world to work. But maybe their purpose is to innovate in a way that makes things better for everyone, that makes things more egalitarian for everyone. It's all about that. So that said, that's a, you know, really long roundabout way of saying. So for me, I am a Scorpio rising. I have a Uranus on my ascendant in Scorpio. It's a really strong Uranus. And I also have Pluto in the 11th, which is all about helping the collective. So it's like, depending on what ping I get, I will go from there. So for instance, Sun Pluto day was a couple days ago. I actually did some major research this morning on when Sun Pluto day was. It was last year as well. So, and what was going on that day. But I was really called to, because I found, again, pop astrology is a thing. I do not do pop astrology. Fuck pop astrology. It's not really built on informing and giving people the tools to empower. It's really about just, it's clickbaity. So anyways, I was like, well, pop, all these people are like, oh, it's on Pluto day, this and that, and, you know, all these things. Like, no one's giving a possible way out or a solution. Well, it turns out on Sun Pluto day, which is in Aquarius, that's exactly when the Sun and Pluto were at the same degree. On that same day, asteroid Prometheus, I like asteroids because they provide more information. Asteroid Prometheus entered Aquarius. I was very excited about that. It was at the 0 degree. Anything in the 0 degree is incredibly potent and powerful. Ooh. Do we know the myth of Prometheus?
Yes, bringing fire to mankind, even though he wasn't supposed to, gets chained to a rock, liver eaten by eagles. Nice guy.
Yeah, that guy. He did a couple other things too. It's like the point of that, you could also consider, you know, he the fire was so this way we could actually be able to survive and live well, but also could be considered that fire came with it knowledge, right? So
right.
Like right. So. It's in Aquarius, which is all about the collective, but also how we individuate within the collective, how we rebel by being our own unique selves. So this is a chapter on a, like, everything is related, right? So starting with the micro, with the self, right? Like, what am I bringing to the table that mankind has not seen before? What is my gift to humanity? And Sun Pluto, I mean, I feel bad for Aquariuses who have their birthday this year, unless they're hella into what we do. But anyways, like you know, the Sun is your core identity. It's almost like the ego. Pluto is Scorpio's planet. It's complete. It's the death card. So you can't go back. It's complete transformation. In a way, it could be an ego death. Or is it transformation of self at the deepest level, revealing our subconscious desires, right? So how do we embody that? When we look at that as a place of empowerment, of like, yeah, I'm getting a hell of a makeover right now, and this is the thing I want to bring to the world, that's far more empowering. Because I get to decide what it is. So on my personal chart, I also have Prometheus and air sign. It's actually at Gemini 0 degrees. So just today or the day before, I had Prometheus trine Prometheus. What a fucking ride that was. Because it's like Gemini is all about the bringing what is information from both realms, both sides, to the physical world. Gemini is an antenna, but she's an interface for Earth, right? So bringing that down to Earth, to give to humanity, to facilitate the evolution of people at the individual level and how they choose to participate on the collective levels up to them. But the condition for what I share is for the highest good of self and all. So there's that. And that's an example of what I was led to.
That's a lot. And it is kind of freaking awesome. It sounds overwhelming, but it is awesome. And that is a lot of personal insight, like a lot. And that takes, I know, a lot of thought, a lot of personal growth, a lot of reflection and examination, and a lot of sitting with yourself to figure that shit out. You know, if you haven't been there, audience listening, you will be at some point. I promise you, it will not be comfortable, but it will be worth it. And as someone else, like I said, who sees patterns and needs to find the why and how and the connectedness between things, because I'm detail oriented, but I'm also like big picture focused. I need the complete image. I need to know the how and why, not just the what.
Exactly.
Yeah. So seeing, you know, the broader spectrum of things, whether it's in the form of, you know, the movement of the stars and various constellations and planets, as you've just outlined, and how that stands like relative to who we are, the circumstances of our birth, our personalities, what we're drawn to, and what we can personally do. You know, that to me is just another way of seeing the interconnectedness of everything in the world and our own place in it. I mean, for me, I've talked about this before. I kind of view the whole world as a root system or a web or like a fungal mycelium network, where it may not always be overt the way that everything is interconnected, but it's there. It's under the surface sometimes, but it's there. And you can see where it rises above, you can see the results of that, and you can, you know, kind of see the signposts. And if you figure yourself out, you can kind of be like, oh, this is the place where I'm supposed to sit. This is where my roots grow. This is where I grow. This is where I bloom. And this is what I can do with that.
Oh, yeah. And I think that it's important to note that this was a natural progression for knowledge for me. And it turns out I found some placements that indicate that there's probably a natural inclination for this in my blood. Also ancestrally, I was mostly self-taught, and I recently finished a mentorship with Brian Scarborough, fixed air moon, who studied under David Palmer, the Leo King, who played a big role. David actually played a big role during 2020 in terms of me getting deeper and deeper into astrology, because he was making some really keen insights. And it allowed me to ask questions, but nonetheless, like, this is what was natural for me. So when we're going into these in-depth conversations, it may be that you just need to know that the moon is in this sign. You like, so what is the moon today? Let me see. I think it's Sagittarius, right? The moon is in Sagittarius. You're a Gemini. So like, let's say, for instance, Gemini and Sagittarius are opposite. Well, what do they agree on? They agree on, they like knowing things. Where are they different? Sagittarius likes to get out there and experience the world, because that's another kind of knowledge. Or they like to tell everybody what they think, and they can get a little dogmatic about it. So that's a shadow side. Or they can use that fire energy and like take the action, pair it with the knowledge they want to accumulate, and meet different people, and that further enriches the knowledge. So what does that mean if you're a Gemini sun? You're gonna probably have to think, and also know it, you're probably gonna have to think bigger. Right? Gemini is ruled by, Gemini's planet is Mercury. She likes to know everything and anything, all the details about how things are done and why. She's sort of a collector. Sagittarius is like, okay, before we get there, we have a filter. That's a different sign. But just dealing on this axis, Sagittarius is like, okay, cool. So we've got the fundamentals. Now, how can we expand this? In fact, I want to be boundless, right? So again, I'm having to see the bigger picture. So this is the day, or a couple of days, where I'll have to do that. And then depending on how your chart is aligned, you may also have planets in Sagittarius too. So I have Neptune, which funny enough is located right in the galactic center, which means I'm tapped into the higher knowing, and you just know, and you don't need to know why you know, but you just know. But I did need to know why, because I'm a Scorpio rising. That's where I study astrology. So, but you see what I mean? So it could be that when the moon hits that planet, which is a generational outer planet, maybe I get some really cool dreams or some intuitive hits about how to further expand, you know? And then, so that in itself, just knowing the planets, that's quite a bit of information. Maybe that's all you need to know. But then, like, you reach a point sometimes for some people, it's like, well, I need to know a little bit more than that, because yes, I'm experiencing that energy, but I can't figure out where it's showing up, because I feel like I'm dancing around the answer or the problem, if you will. Well, for me, it turns out Neptune's in my first house. So I'm a mystic by nature. And then on top of that, I'm hella mysterious and quirky as all hell, you know. So you know, with Uranus in the first house. So with me, you know, I like, that's it's gonna be very much maybe like the first house is how you experience the world at first glance or a first contact, or how you come across. It could be that me meeting somebody, shit, I get this amazing download. I'm like, oh God, I gotta go here next. or I need to discover this or study this more. And it just, it becomes a natural progression and evolution. And it's really important to flow with that while still having one foot on the ground.
Exactly. Always got to have that one foot on the ground. And that is an important frame of reference for that personal exploration. And I wanted to pop back just very quickly to what you said about spiritual gifts and things that we may inherit. Not in the sense of, whoops, mic knock.
That's okay.
Not so much in the sense of like, oh, these are like hereditary superpowers or any icky stuff with bloodlines that we're not touching because that's gross. but just in a way of like, yeah, as a person, because of the person that you are, because of the, you know, the person you have grown into, because of your personality, because of your life experience, you can be inclined to certain things. And perhaps because of gifts that have been passed down from family members, or because there are things that you have been taught that you don't even realize that you've learned, again, as part of that life experience, you know, you can have gifts that you don't know about. You know, maybe you have really, really strong intuition. Maybe you have really good insight. Maybe you have more empathy than you thought. Maybe you just have a really great bullshit detector. You know, mm-hmm. all of these things are gifts that we can, you know, bring out in ourselves through self-reflection and personal development. And I, excuse me, and I do like the idea of having sort of that framework of your birth chart, or, you know, the astrological conditions of the day, as it were, as sort of a way of exploring that. And not necessarily, like you said, not necessarily like hard and fast rules for how things are or how they will be, but just, hey, here's conditions. What does this tell you? What does this make you feel? How can you explore that? And what does it tell you about yourself, how you relate to the world, and how can you use that to maybe do something or learn something or try something new?
Yeah, and I like that. And for me, I think the term empowered, yes. like use that in an empowered way, is really mm-hmm. important, right? Because we're not victims of circumstance. Like, I think what people forget is that they, either through conditioning or however that may look, we just give up and just say, I don't, things aren't going to change anyway. But we have, we can respond in an empowered way. And the astrology is a good way to show how and why and where. And so, like, I wanted to just back up to why the chart is important. So the chart is a natal chart. It looks like a wheel. And all it is a snapshot of the sky at the moment you're born, which is why the time is really important. You can still figure things out without the time, but to really get a snapshot, you want the time, because it sets where the map is and how the planets fall. So as I mentioned earlier, the wheel has 12 slices. Each one represents a facet of the evolution of your journey as a human and the human experience. And so, you know, where the planets fall and how many fall where can give clues as to why you're drawn to a certain thing, or why you have certain lessons or strengths in certain areas, and so on. So some people, it's clear as day, just right out the gate, just because of placements, or a planet is in a certain place. Some it's a bit more hidden. And I was just wrapping up a client report where we talked about this a little bit. So right out the gate, I feel called to talk about houses first rather than planets. And I'm just going to follow like what I'm being called to follow. So houses are important because so we have the fourth house, which is ruled by Cancer. The corresponding, not planet, but cosmic object, because it's called a luminary, is the moon. What does the moon represent? It represents mother. Well, that could be a good place to figure out a little bit about your relationship with your mother, your home, anything that is ancestral, root wise, right? So if you have Neptune in the fourth, it's usually a tough spiritual journey, but it tells me somebody has inherited spirituality in some way in their family lineage. And I actually have gifts from both sides. So it's super interesting, just that story in itself. And then the next house you would look is the eighth house. Well, the eighth house belongs to Scorpio. I love Scorpios. Brian says stay away from Scorpios because they're usually in my 12th house, but we'll talk about why that's important later. But Scorpios are a special role. We talked on that earlier, but that's the house where, like, it's after Libra. So after relating face to face, well, we merge. So it rules sex. It rules things that are hidden, things that are taboo. It rules the subconscious. It rules hidden knowledge. It also rules other people's resources and taxes and death and all that stuff. But anyway, so if you were looking for what gifts you might have, I would definitely look for planets in the eighth house. And what sign they are can show the expression that they share with you and others. Also, if you want a good career in finance, that would be a good indication to look there as well. And then finally, the 12th house. This is probably the trickier house because it's not obvious. The 12th house is ruled by Pisces. Coincidentally enough, the sole assignment of the collective for the next year and a half is to spend time in the energy of Pisces. And it will be comfortable for some and not so comfortable for others. And I'll explain why. Pisces, the 12th house, it is the collective unconscious. It's where things go to dissolve. It is the bridge between worlds. We've finished our experience as a human being when we reach Pisces. So that's part of the reason why I like the glyph of the fish. You have one fish above water, and then you have the other fish underneath the water. And you could kind of consider the water the under, not the underworld, but like the other side, the other realm. And so when you have planets in the 12th house, it could be very hard to know. It could be right underneath your nose. And for like the expression of that planet, or what gift that planet holds to be obvious to you sometimes is only felt through the senses or is discovered in solitude. Or maybe if you have somebody with a very strong planetary placement that aspects that, that's how it comes out. It's tricky because it's all about the senses and your knowing, but you have to have a good head on your shoulders to see what is actually true versus what is rose-colored glasses or illusion. That house also rules places where you lose your own freedom. So, like hospitals, mental health institutions, jail. It takes away your connection with the world and moving around as a free agent. So that would be a place where I could see people having a really, really good connection to dreams. Astral projection. Maybe you need protection. That's probably a slip, but not. I've learned those are not slips. Astral projection. What is it? I don't want to say prophecy, just because of religious purposes, but like just this knowing, right? Usually
Foresight.
12th of, yeah, exactly. And people aren't doing this for ego. They just know shit. They just know something. They don't know why they know it. They have no stake in how it plays out. They're just telling you they know something and it seems important, right? So those are your houses. And then there's more you can layer on to the story because it's all about building the story, but not a story that is just for shits and giggles, but like, what is the narrative that wants to be told? Like, almost like in the way you would write a creative nonfiction book, right? Because, yes, the places, the key events of the story are there, but the writer, you get to choose how to tell the story and what to emphasize and how to express that.
Well, that makes sense. So it's not that, oh, you have this chart and therefore you are a certain way. It's here's aspects of yourself that may display themselves to a greater or lesser degree, depending on inclination, experience, situation, and personal development.
Correct. And I would dare say, like, too, really good case in point. So one thing that people will do in astrology classes, they'll take charts of famous people, just throw them up there, and they'll read the chart without knowing the name of the person. And it's funny what people come away with. But I remember there was a YouTube channel I was watching, and they did one for, believe it or not, Charles Manson. And so in looking at the chart, what they came away with was he had the potential to be a really great leader for humanity, but he chose to go dark. So it just goes to show how much free will plays into this. I also see frequency of the person matters, right? So the condition of the heart and through which they're able to experience unconditional love, which is a loaded term in itself. If you know me, I'm not a turn the other cheek girl. You know, I will clap back. But what that means is how willing are you able to tap into that feeling of love? And even that I'm struggling to find the words for. I'm kind of on the same page with the aliens in that like linear language as a linguist, because I have I'm a linguistics master's degree holder. At least English has become a little tiresome because there's so much conceptually. And astrology kind of becomes a shortcut for concepts in that way, because you have the planet and then you have the sign and then the house. And even that alone is just telling a story, right? So anyways, yeah, we took a little, we opened another browser tab, as you can see.
Oh, yes, absolutely. My brain is like that all the time. There's always 16 different tabs open. There's probably a video or two playing in the background. And, you know, despite all of that, you know, somewhere in the background, my brain is just playing on my phone and not paying attention to any of it. But it's still happening in the background because I can't shut it off.
Oh, it's so true.
I'm very familiar.
Yeah. And then that bolt of lightning strikes. You're like, oh, wait, where's that pile of tabs I had open? Because this is the exact answer to the question that I was looking for. So I got to allow more flow in. And I think that's going to be our lesson of the next year and a half, like not getting stuck in the lower energies of Virgo of I have to control things. I have to help you exactly my way. And you're an idiot because you're not doing it my way. Rather, it's to allow flow. And Virgo is here to understand process and to refine. Refining is a process. Perfection is boring, right? Yeah. I once saw a statue in the National Gallery. I was like, that's actually perfect. I was like, oh, it's not interesting. I just realized in the moment it took me seeing that statue that perfection is boring. There's no story there. But it's a great time for us to lean into that flow. And Pisces is so vast. So we could do everything in Pisces or none of it in Pisces. And I would really hope that people lean into the higher iteration of Pisces, which is the getting your spiritual, you know, dipping your toes further into the spiritual pool, exploring writing again. It's going to be an interesting time for media, Mike, and filmmaking. Pisces rules art, but it's not art for self-actualization like Leo is, because Leo rules rock stars and actors that were self as center stage. Rather, artists are offering up a glimpse of what they've seen in the other world they have access to, and offering that to humanity as an expression, either of themselves or either they're just conduits for these things. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens with songwriting and music and all that other stuff, too. There's all that. The other side of it is please don't fall into illusion, delusion, escapism in an unhealthy sense, like through substances or whatever it is we're addicted to. I mean, to make the benefit, make full use of this transit, it's such a gift because we're getting this gift at a time when we're rewriting the programming of society and ourselves, especially when in March, I actually have the calendar here, March 30th, Neptune goes into Aries. We get to be pioneers of our spiritual path. So there's that. I mean, this is just so much going on, and a great time for a podcast like this.
Very much so. And I mean, we were talking last year about, you know, some stuff that you were seeing just sort of on the horizon with shifts and things that were coming down the pike. And, you know, it hasn't been like an exact match, but it's been accurate in a broader sense of like, oh, you're recognizing patterns just with current events, and you're seeing some of that reflected in what you're looking at sort of down the road. So, you know, me, I'm hoping for positive change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, you know, I'm in a position where it's like, okay, I'm also like willing to work and at least do what I can to make that happen. But it's like, I'm also not going to hold my breath. But you mentioned something earlier about, you know, everybody has something they can do. Everybody has something they can contribute to the world, to society, to even just their local community and the people around them. And, you know, even if that is mundane or practical or purely logistical, it is something. It is something that would not happen if you were not there. So, you know, another little reminder for the listeners, you know, the world is better because you're in it and you have purpose and you have meaning. And the phrase that has been stuck in my head all this month, it is just a thing that kind of came to me out of nowhere. I wrote it in my planner so that the paper could remember in case I didn't. I may not be able to do everything, but what I can do, I'll do, and I'll do, and I'll do. So,
yeah,
just not expecting the world of myself, but being like, no, you know what? I know what I'm capable of, and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to keep on doing it.
Well, two things. You did a Ron Swanson, which is, did you, yeah. So instead of half-assing two things, you're going to whole-ass one thing, right?
Yes, but exactly.
Also, but it's so funny because what you said is very representative of what Jupiter's doing right now. So Jupiter, that sign, that planet we talked about, is in Gemini. They're an opposite sign. So yes, I want to expand and be boundless, but for it to be of value, where is it practical? Where's the way I can make the most impact? And Jupiter, you know, Gemini is also a local community, but I think that it talks about you kind of focusing, right? Because it's also part of this part of society, I think, that is going to possibly diminish is us having to, you know, it's very, very Seven of Cups, right? Seven of Cups. I do tarot from time to time, like too many cups, right? So like, but if we have two cups, maybe three cups, I like the Three of Cups, right? There's a nice little focus there. And it's about like where I think the power is doing those things well while being flexible and doing those things well. It's bringing the knowledge. It's bringing the intuition, but also it's bringing the community. So it's like, who are the people who are different than me?
This is where the Aquarius part is cool, because we are a collective of people who are all good at doing something different. So what is an asset that so-and-so brings to the table, right, that I don't have, much less have the skill set for, because I'm focused on this little area of improvement right here. But I know they can enrich it. And then same thing with someone else, you know? So I think that's where the win is. And that's where some of the most big change is going to come together. What this isn't a time for is to be a know-it-all, to think that you've perfected everything, because there's no way anyone has perfected everything, even when all the ducks are in a row. But especially more so now, when we're having several planets change signs at a generational level. So we need to be able to come together. And I think that's part of the reason why it was good that we had a collective assignment last year to reevaluate self and relationships, because it gave us better personal agency so we could navigate times of change with a lot more confidence and self-authority.
Fair point. And actually, I am kind of seeing that reflected in the communities, or at least the bits of the community that I'm regularly a part of. There is sort of this general feeling of, you know, we all want to pull together. We all want to, you know, share knowledge and share resources and sort of do for each other on a very practical sort of down to earth level, but also, you know, lift each other up like emotionally. So it does feel like, even though things are very uncertain, and like you said, Seven of Cups, it feels like there's a lot of plates in the air, as it were. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to keep them spinning. We're just trying to keep going. But there's also this feeling of uncertainty, but this feeling of togetherness as well, where it's like, okay, don't know what's coming, so we're all going to pull together and we'll get through it that way. So it is interesting how these things, you know, have reflection in astrology, but they also have reflection just in the way that people are generally behaving, whether they choose to look to that particular model or not. Again, with pattern recognition and just kind of going, okay, some of this is subjective, sure, but also like, that is a neat connection.
And the cat is confirmation.
Oh yes, that is producer Penny singing in the background, wondering why no one is coming to her opera performance.
That's so
cool. I dare say that. She will be. Yes, here she is. Yes, here she is. She's one moment, because everyone loves when she gets on the mic. Hang on.
Penny. Hi, I'm actually holding a black cat pen right now that says "Be Curious," and there's a little
on
it. Yeah. That's so funny. Oh, we get purr. I love that. So, and what you were talking about in a broad sense, right? Those, the planetary adjustments or the observations based on that in a broad sense, is because we were talking about it in a broad sense, and now you could see the amount of nuance it takes to talk about things in a more pointed sense. So that also brings to my point that there are limited generalities that you can make. I was at an event last night, and it had to do with work and how work is changing, timely topic. And then my friend's next to me, and I'm like pulling out my Time Nomad app, talking about recalling dates and snapshotting like charts. And I'm like, all right, that's when this planet, this and this, this and that, you know, like, so here I am doing the grit work. And I presented a timeline because everyone was kind of stuck. In my opinion, my takeaway was there were people who knew things, but there was while they were bringing new knowledge, there was the vibe of it's the same old tune since college, the same old tune we're making to resistance and all this other stuff. And it's like, we need fresh blood. There needs to be something new. That's a side point. But then after all of that, I developed a really strong timeline and presented in 2 minutes about everything she was talking about, her whole book chat, giving people the opportunity to take the bull by the horns, right? But then after the end of that, someone from the audience was like, well, my astrologer said 2027 is going to be the year. And I was like, okay, to which I would like to respond, what led you to that conclusion? What was she highlighting? What is her perspective on this, this, and that? You know, and like, I had 5 questions for her. Like, you can't just reductively say such and such is going to be the year, right? The categories with me. So it's so much more than that. The year for who? The year for what? Like, people were saying when Pluto exited Capricorn that all the cardinal signs were off the hook. I mean, are they? I mean, yes, we get a bit of a break, but if you're in Aries this year, you got Neptune going into your sign and you've got Saturn going into your sign. Are you really off the hook? And then if you're a Cancer, you have Jupiter going into your sign. That's great for you if you're a Cancer for expansion, but you got a little bit of like a 1 foot on the brake and where's the damn gas pedal between Saturn and Neptune providing a square to your sun. A square is a aspect of tension. It forces you to take action, but not necessarily in the way you may want to, because it's asking you to problem solve, right? So as you can see, you can't just say 2025 is the year, you know, or this year is the year. For what? We have to ask more questions.
Definitely. And again, that's where that sort of, you have to have some sort of context that matters. It's not just, oh, I see big things in the future. Yeah. Like what? Because that could be, you know, like 13 different things. Hang on just 1 second really quick.
No problem.
We are having catastrophe.
Oh, no.
Penny. Oh, having very expressive cats is a blessing and a curse.
Oh, it's funny. I have guinea pigs. They just stare at you and put your lettuce, the lettuce they don't like, into a discard pile because my guinea pigs are Libras and have standards.
No. Well, apologies for that. Miss Penny decided that she was going to scream her head off because she was upset and hungry and then fling herself down the stairs and trip.
Oh, so what? When was your cat born?
I have her little adoption letter right here.
Well, you know, pet astrology is a whole thing.
Is it really? Oh God.
Yes. Pet astrology.
Oh boy.
It's a thing. It's not one thing I'm called to do, but it has been suggested I teach my guinea pigs to do people's charts, and then I would be set for life. And they would just week
that
and
would
point
be incredible.
Suggestively about areas of improvement that you could benefit from.
I love it. Okay. All right. Penny's date of birth is April 21st, 2015.
So she's an Aries. You realize this. No, she's a Taurus. I'm sorry.
She's a Taurus like her mama.
Yeah, early Taurus.
So she wants her food and she wants her comfort and she wants it when she wants it and how she wants it and otherwise piss off.
That's true. It's funny how the neurodivergence, because I like flips into thing. It's like, so I know this is the thing, but because of my executive dysfunction with dates, unless I'm intimately familiar, painfully so, I will mess up on dates sometimes. That's why I have to have the notes
exactly.
Nearby. But because you're May birthday, right? What's your birthday?
April 27th is my birthday.
Ah, I think you're both first deacon.
Okay, so
fun fact, each zodiac sign's about 3-4 weeks, 3.5 weeks, mm-hmm. and they're divided into sub-rulers, so they're divided into three parts called, I call them deacons, some people call them deacons, the linguist in me does not like the S, so I'm going to call them a deacon, and it just sounds linguistically wrong to me. So agree to disagree. There are better things to argue about and you shouldn't be arguing. You should be focusing on yourself because the world is too busy. Anyway, so deacons, so in that sign, there will be sub-rulers. So anybody in the first week of that sign, the sub-ruler is actually the ruling planet. So you're Venus. So Venus is extra important for you. If you're in the second week, you may have the ruling planet of another Earth sign. So it could be Mercury, it could be Saturn. I don't know. We'd have to look. Why those planets? Well, they're also the ruling planets of the other Earth signs. So the Earth signs are Taurus, first Earth sign, second Earth sign, Virgo, ruled by Mercury, and the third Earth sign is Capricorn, ruled by Saturn. It gives a little extra flavor. So why does this matter? It's true. It's why sometimes me and June Geminis, I just cannot with y'all. I don't understand. There are ones that I absolutely love, but in the past, like we're a mixed bag anyway, but there are ones in the past I just could not get with. But you know, like I said, Geminis as of late, I think I've been attracting some good ones.
Well, I've heard the joke that it's like, you know, you either love Geminis or you hate them because they basically come in two flavors.
Even that is reductive. We are a lane
of
lunacy, okay? So that should be a t-shirt, a landscape of lunacy. It just depends on what frequency you're on, right? So, for instance, my Mars sign is in Taurus, probably one of the only damn placements that keeps me on this planet because I would have levitated the fuck off this blueberry a long time ago.
I love that.
Right. But it's in the third decan, which is ruled by Saturn. So I work my ass off. I have my system. Not only is don't make me move until I decide I'm going to move, but I'm going to be a master in how I move. And I'm going to develop my system and it's going to be like my freaking legacy. But what's the other side of that is I have Uranus opposite my Mars, so it makes me a little bit more volatile, a little bit more reactive, a little bit less like stay, like less like stay stilly. I don't even think that's a word. But so my mind will activate my movement and it'll usually come out of nowhere. So that's an interesting, so that's another interesting layer of story, but you see how deep you could go. So it's like, oh, how does, if you want to know how somebody's mind works, go to their Mercury. If you want to know how they move, go to their Mars. If you want to know how they relate, let's go to the sign of Taurus, which is Venus, right? So be interesting to see what Venus you have.
Interesting. Yeah. Actually, well, we can talk about it after the call, but I did just go and find the like real quick and dirty birth chart I had done years ago. So that could be something fun for later.
Yeah. Well, and also I was going to say some signs will get two planets. It's because they're adding on the layer of the story. So if Aries is I am, boom, I'm here. I'm a human now. That's the existence. The next part is the contact with the physical world, which is Taurus, which means I have. So it is the connection of self to the material world. Like the material world is the interface, but it's also I value. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what Taurus is. Then you get to Libra, who's also ruled by Venus, but Taurus and Libra are not on the same page. They have an aspect called quincunx. Libra is ruled by Libra is all about relating and balance, right? So their relationship to Venus is very interesting. And for those struggling with worrying too much about other people before yourself, I've heard my astrology mentor say this. There's a reason why Taurus comes before Libra, because you have to fill your own cup first. You have to understand what you value before you could truly relate to others. I'm just saying this not verbatim, before you relate to others in a balanced way. And obviously we'll always be a work in process, but it's in the case where you're giving too much to the other before you give to yourself. Self comes before other, not in a selfish sense, but how can you exist as a balanced, healthy human if you don't know what you value, right?
Very true. And it's sort of an extension of the, you have to kind of know and understand yourself, at least on, you know, a somewhat beyond surface level before you can understand properly how to understand and relate to others, because everything is still going to be filtered through your own personal point of view. So you have to at least do the work to understand yourself, why you think the way you think, why you act the way you act, why you, you know, move through the world the way that you do. If you're going to, you know, have some success with relating to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for some, it's a harder job than others. For those of us who
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So for us of us who are born to create change, we are a function in the greater fabric of the universe and society. It's like you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable whether or not there are people surrounding you. And, you know, so that's something that I've grown comfortable with. I have some help on my side because not only is Uranus in my first house, but I'm also a South Node Aquarius. And it's in my third house, which has to do with mine. So it's like, yep, I'm going to let my freak flag fly at this point. But it's weird because it's my seventh and my seventh, right? So just be like, okay, vibe with me or don't, you know, that's fine. But I'm here to do what I'm here to do. And I have no ego attached to what I say. This is just what I'm here to say. And it's my responsibility to share this with you, right? So interesting point, though, about what we were talking about with Taurus and Venus. So Mercury is the planet, is the sign, or Mercury is the planet that rules Gemini. Gemini is the sign that comes after Taurus. So I was thinking, think about a baby. So a baby is, and then it starts to develop its relationship with the world through the senses, what it eats, what it touches, what it feels, what it senses. And then we get the development of the mind, which is Gemini. And then we get the mama, baba, and the talking and all that other stuff, right? And that could be shaped by different things. So that's why that first quadrant can be really important, because it is all about the self. But it's interesting to see that we can see that layering of story of the human experience.
That is neat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, with regard to like relating to other people, I fully agree with what you said, where, you know, it's not always easy, not least because a lot of times we've run into situations in life where, you know, other people don't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
So there's that. But, you know, it's still helpful to kind of have that self-relating tool and that frame of reference and understanding yourself and, you know, at least knowing yourself to a certain degree. And actually, to that end, if my listeners want to get more into astrology, if they want to have some resource for, you know, delving into the planets and the houses and, you know, starting to figure that out or at least explore it, what would you recommend that they read or watch or check out?
That's entirely subjective. I would say
always.
Right.
Well, what if you found useful then?
Well, and I'm weird, but let me just say a couple things. So for resources, it could depend just the person, their circumstances and how they learn. I would say whatever comes naturally to them. So, I mean, if you're going to use the internet, be choosy. I started with Astrology Cafe. So they were
okay. Good in a
very broad sense. But then I had more questions, obviously, because they can only paint part of the picture. Like, so if you're a sun in Aquarius, maybe they give you a little paragraph, but Aquarius's story is huge. So there's that. For books, there's a really popular book where they've started to make these books where it's like, okay, well, I just want to know about like how to interact with people who have certain placements. There's a book called The Astrology of You and Me. So that's a really popular one. I think it's really tangible, but if you're like me, you'll have more questions. If you want like a textbook style, Llewellyn is great. The Complete Book of Astrology. This is where you're getting into more technical stuff, but it's more to the point. And in my opinion, what I would go for as somebody who's one coming from an academic background, but also somebody who values quality research, Llewellyn, almost everything Llewellyn is awesome.
Yeah, they've really, I have to say, they've really stepped up their game in the past, you know, 5-10 years. They've really, obviously they still do have a house style, but it's much less one-dimensional than it was back in, say, the 90s or the early 2000s, as so many of us have lamented. And they've really kind of, they've started to branch out a little bit and at least they have like a broader selection of authors now from a broader range of backgrounds, which is nice. And they have published quite a few compendiums that are very informative and very helpful, especially, like you said, if you're looking for that sort of textbook all in one reference guide to at least be like an entry point where it's like, I don't know what this means. I just need to look something up. Oh, it's here in this book. And then you can, you know, explore from there and research further. But it is kind of sometimes helpful to have that weighty tome. I am a fan of them myself.
Sure. And I want to say, I'm not doing justice to all learning styles. So I wanted to be cognizant of that, especially as a neurodivergent person and understanding we have different capacities. So those items I mentioned are good for written word. And of course, you could do audiobook. But if you want more of a conversation lecture style, I do recommend Fixed Air Moon. He's done a 3-part beginner to reader series that you can just play in the background. Each YouTube video is about 3 hours long. Originally it was a paid class, but he just didn't want to, he wanted the collective to have this information. So I will put that on in the background, and he does a really good overview of astrology in general. And he approaches things from an evolutionary perspective. And again, it's really important to be, in my opinion, be an eclectic astrologer. So I appreciate what he adds to, and he's super cool guy. Love his daily horoscopes because he makes them relevant. And, you know, so his daily horoscopes as well. There are several other people on Instagram. I'm a strong believer that you can control what you experience. The block and unfollow button are power that I think people are willing to need to be willing to own that power more. But if you were to consider Colin Bedell, my Italian brother from another mother, Queer Cosmos, he will actually apply psychology and other scientific articles to his explanation of astrology. Love that. Then you have Chris Cooney. He lives in Portugal and he'll do his stuff from there. He does workshops and I love his take. It's very important to take from different people. So everybody has something of value and these guys have some weightier credentials. So they don't fall, in my opinion, within the realm of pop astrology. So apps are also important to consider. I would recommend Time Nomad if you have any sort of literacy in chart reading. And there are a couple others as well. I would say that one of the most popular ones that I've come across is that people have is CoStar. I would say the value in that, in my opinion, is just getting to know the housing system and the charts and the planets that overlay in there. So I really would encourage folks to take more ownership in being eclectic in their information gathering. But I absolutely love Time Nomad for an app. So I hope that applies to different learning styles. And there are different guided journals that you can use as well. I'm actually developing a series of worksheets and looking to some of which will be part of my astrology class coming up, because you know it's not just about the knowing. As an English professor, especially ESL, there's four skills. There's input skills and output skills, and the fifth skill has to do with thinking. This holistic approach to understanding, it's not just astrology, it's a tool for personal evolution, elevation, right? It's important that we consider all aspects of that. And then you can layer on your favorite tools you like to use, whether it is, you know, doing what you do, Brie, or things like crystals, because they are things that connect the spiritual to the physical realm, right? So there you go.
Fabulous. And you do have your own project through Soul Riot.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about my company. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do, because that's how we met. And it's really interesting. So, yes, lay it on us. Go for it.
Yeah. So what do you want to know, how it started or what I do with it? Like, we could go any possible way with this conversation.
What you do with it and where to find it.
Okay. So Soul Riot. I kind of started with Soul Riot as a means of using the crystals to help manage energy and help activate energetic balance and in my clients through doing research and actually knowing what these crystals do. So I have done pop-ups for the past 3 years. I've been full-time for 2 years now. Fortunately, I am not, I'm made of grits and coffee, so that's fine. So I will do these pop-ups in order to expose what I've learned about crystals and astrology to different groups of people. I'm having to think about this in a way that I'm not usually thinking about. I just do it. Like I live and breathe Soul Riot. I don't have to explain. It's kind of like explaining how do you eat spaghetti from beginning to end, right? So that's how my brain is taking this right now. But so I will do these pop-ups talking about crystals and aligning them with whatever astrological transits are happening. So this way people can really just lean into the energy in their own way and have a tool to help them either balance out whatever's out of balance or maybe activate in them something that needs to be activated. So we're in Aquarius time now. So for instance, maybe some people will do better with being a little bit more in the mind. Other people, not so much. They get really spacey. So what's a crystal that could help balance that? If you're an Aquarius, feelings are weird a lot of the time. Just turn them off because they don't fit into logical boxes and can be explained with words. It's because it's a different system of information. It's the system of experiencing through feeling. So I would recommend a crystal for that. So this way you're not one end or the other end more. So I do that. Where things are changing this year is I'm realizing that the crystals are support for the knowledge for what we're talking about today. So I'm leading with astrology and then offering the tools to supplement the embodying of the energy, the authenticity that wants to be unleashed. So really it'll be a little bit like the crystals would be like maybe half-ish of the table, and there'll be room for us to sit for 15-minute intervals at pop-ups. But really, that's just a taste. I do one-on-one sessions through Calendly. So I will do your birth chart, which you and I will be doing soon. I will offer also, I have a different offering, which is the planning your year with astrology that exclusively centers on the outer planets, that will be changing. I have also a, those are paid, but I do offer a complimentary call if you just want to talk crystals, and I can curate something and mail it to you. I've mailed things as far as Los Angeles, so no big deal there. And I'm doing classes now. I'm really being poked to start teaching again, and in doing these, you know, these little rabbit holes that I go through every morning, just what have I learned from that, and how can I empower somebody with this knowledge? And the first class will be planning your year with astrology, but it will be focusing on the inner planets and why the inner planets, the Mercury, the Venus, the Mars. It's because it's what we experience most personally and how we relate to other people. So that would be really helpful as well. And what else? I am now a metaphysical provider with Phases Therapy. They're a very inclusive organization, mental health organization based in Fredericksburg. They just opened a location in Richmond. So I met Kat, the owner of the practice, at a River City Witches Market, and she just really liked my vibe, like how authentic I was. And I mean, you know, I have a very strong energy signature. So we just started talking. Right? I'm just being me, you know? And so she loved it. She loved how like honest it was and how like empowering it was. She's like, yeah, I want more of this. And so eventually it became a camp, come work with us. And so now I'm in a collective of several various metaphysical providers, quote unquote, for entertainment purposes only. But as a component to further explore self, and they've got Reiki and all these different practitioners, and the irony of it, or really about how things come full circle, is I also started studying astrology after a really rough breakup. And I was like, I would like support, like a coach. So I have a guide as I work through this process. And so they worked hand in hand for me, but now I'm in a position where I can support others in their process. And I really like to come up with something to complement their session in a way that aligns with what they're there to do. So I feel like there's one more thing, but we're looking to expand and do all kinds of different things. So this is just the beginning for Soul Riot. So
neat. I mean, it's self-development and shiny rocks. What could possibly be better?
Right. Oh, yes. And the flavor of gothic rock and roll. Did I mention like
how? Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, like music. Yeah, it's with a gothic rock and roll vibe, right? So for me, music has always been very transformational. So like there is like, you know, what is more rock and roll and gritty than actually doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. What's more punk even than doing the work, right? How Aquarian is that?
Oh, love it.
You know, so, but, and we, you know, and I would say finally, like, it's not just self, but going back to ancestry and roots. My grandmother was an elementary school teacher. She actually got me into nature early on, and we would tour these Victorian estates in the Northeast, including the Guggenheim estate. And I had different people. She really supported my curiosity, and we would talk about the supernatural, and there's stuff I inherited from that lineage. But I'm just saying, all of that, it honors her too. And I know she would be really proud. So for many a reason. But yeah, so that's the story of Soul Riot.
That's really cool. And, you know, I bet she would be really, really proud, because just, you are one of the neatest people I've ever met. You do have a really good energy to you. It is very open. It is very honest. And it's kind of in your face in the best possible way. What you see with Alicia is what you get. She's an open person and very willing to talk. And I've always really enjoyed that about your company when we've been at the markets, because I never feel like I'm shut out of a conversation with you. I never feel like there's no room to have discussions. I never feel like there's no room to disagree or to offer, you know, a different viewpoint. And you always have something to say that is so insightful that it just kind of knocks me back a step. And I go, oh, crap, that I have homework now. I have to go look into things. Where the heck did that come from? That is, stop being so damn smart.
Well, I, you know, like I said, I'm here to do a thing, and it's my job to do the thing.
Yeah. So enough. I'm not shocked that you also find yourself in the position of an educator, because I feel like you have a lot to give, and I feel like you have a lot of insight and also the willingness and the gift of expression to pass that on to other people in a way that makes sense. So yeah, for that, as well as many other reasons, I wanted to have you on the show this month.
It's true. And I think just, I know that we've been going for a little bit here. I really think it's important to talk about this. It's nothing's handed to you. I think that there has to be a willingness to experience. You have to check ego, right? Because none of this means anything to me. Like, I don't do this for validation. Like, my name means truth, right? Alicia is from ancient Greek, which actually means, it's Aletheia, which means truth, truth teller, right? So it's not about me being smart. It's about me doing my job. And if anybody were to interfere with that, they're really interfering with fate in a lot of ways and what the universe has ordered. So it's very important that we look within ourselves and see, well, if this person is really different from me and they stir something up in me for good or something that makes me uncomfortable, let me ask why. Because they have no interest in interfering with my fate or what I do, but I'm curious. Maybe I can learn from them. And what is it that I can learn from them that could be my own? Right. So you have to be willing to do the job, to be humble, to experience, and to be able to put things in piles, but not necessarily have it all figured out. But when you recognize a pattern, when you get an intuitive hit, and even better, when they both line up, talk about it. You know, you and I have had many conversations like, I noticed this, what in the actual hell? Or why does this herb keep coming up? I don't understand, right? So, you know, and even then, how far does being smart get you in the real world, right? It only gets you to a certain point, right? Because the world isn't about being smart. It's about being impactful. It's about being of service. It's about being useful, right? So I think there's that wording as well, which is why I say, just because this has been on my tongue for a while, people will see you on the Instagram and they don't see the hours it took and the nonstop hours you're putting in to do all the things, but they just want the glory for the finished product. Jealousy is laziness. Jealousy tells a narrative we want to tell ourselves. It does not tell the truth. I am here to tell the truth of the cosmos, here to help you see what to activate within yourself. And you have a choice in how that goes down. If I show up at your doorstep with knowledge, it's because I was sent to do so. It's up to you what you do with it.
Yeah, there you go. And I kind of agree with you that, you know, having knowledge and even knowing what to do with it will only take you so far, because you also have to not just sit back on those laurels and go, well, yes, I know things and I'm very smart. Yes, good for you. What are you doing with it? What are you doing to, you know, either improve yourself or improve, you know, others, or improve, you know, the state of things? You know, you have to do something. Even if it's small, everybody can have that impact. So yes, I'm with you there.
For sure.
And yes. And I think that wraps it up for this evening. I am getting the stare from producer Penny. Which probably means that either I have let things run on too long or she's hungry. Either way, my ankles are in danger. So I will make sure that I have links to Alicia's socials and to Soul Riot and to the sources that she mentioned in the show notes. I hope you all have enjoyed. And Alicia, thank you again for coming on the show. And you and I think we'll chit chat after the recording goes off.
I think that would be amazing.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I swear I never have more fun on this show than when a friend stops by and we just ping pong off of each other for an hour. As you can tell, a few things in that session did not go quite as expected. We had a couple of technical issues and a bit of catus interruptus. Don't worry, producer Penny is completely fine. She just stumbled a little bit on the stairs trying to go too fast. Thankfully, she's a bumble, and as we all know, bumbles bounce. But we roll with things in these situations, and it all came back around nicely. There was a lot of shop talk tossed around in this episode, so if you're left wanting to know more about what all the different houses and planets in your chart mean, or how to tell what these things mean for you on the daily, definitely check out Alicia's weekly sessions at Soul Riot LLC on Instagram, or go to her Calendly page to schedule your own reading. I've also included the resources she mentioned and all her contact info in the show notes for your convenience. And personally, I want to get my hands on that Llewellyn book. Divination isn't my strong suit, but pattern recognition is, so this could be fun. So, that about wraps it up for this month. As always, Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network, where you can find shows ranging from tabletop RPG to true crime to witchcraft. Join our Discord, check out our forums, and show some love to the other wonderful creators on the network, including our sibling show, BS Free Witchcraft, by visiting nerdandtie.com. You can support this show by checking out my Patreon at patreon.com/BrayNickGarren or picking up some podcast merch at hexpositive.redbubble.com, where you can find all of my various designs on everything from mugs to bumper stickers to a brand new t-shirt. Don't forget to visit the Willow Wings Witch Shop at hexpositive.myshopify.com and use code WITCHBOTTLE, all one word, for 20% off new and featured items all month long. Join the email list, check out the upcoming events page, follow me on Tumblr, Facebook, I guess Instagram, I suppose, and WordPress, and make sure you check out the Witch's Table discussion groups in Richmond and Williamsburg, and the First Friday's Moon Markets in historic Hilton Village if you happen to be local. Until next time, I'm Brina Garin, reminding you to stay safe, help where you can, and remember the words of Gandalf the Grey. All we have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given to us. Love you, witches. Stay strong. Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Check out everything they have to offer, including our sibling podcast, BS Free Witchcraft, over at nerdandtie.com. Intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. Visit BrinaGarren.wordpress.com for show notes, announcements, and upcoming events. You can also follow me at Brina Garren on Instagram and Bree Landwalker on Tumblr. My books are available on Amazon and in the Willow Wings Witch Shop, and if you'd like to support the show, please visit patreon.com/BrinaGarren. Stay safe, wash your hands, and remember, always practice safe hex.